That was. I don't know, John. I don't know how to do a good job at the show anymore. I mean, I've given up on all goodness.
Well, here's the thing. What we need to do is just give like little teasers, like a 2 or 3 minute period, and then make our listeners wait 15 minutes or pay money to listen.
Oh, to speed that would up be the, good. Yeah. Like like almost like a micro transaction, like a small payment of sorts in order to get a better.
Yeah, it's almost like the episode, like the premium content that this show is.
Yeah, yeah.
You're paying for it.
And the more you pay, the better you enjoy it.
Yeah. What but, and, you know, we've been kind of giving freemium content for the last several months. But
we suck so bad. Like, you know, actually, all joking aside, which, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pop Culture Problems. We're going to be talking about freemium content, games, things of that
kind of
nature.
Just how video games have evolved.
Yeah, video games and how they've changed. But what would be a good idea, I think, and this is being real with you, maybe we should, like, I don't know, prepare for our episodes. I think that would do a lot more than charging people microtransactions.
You know what, though? I think that's one of the things that endears us to our listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the total lack of preparation for the show.
Yeah, all three of them.
Each and every week.
This is a like a tutorial of what not to do for a podcast. They listen, they're like, okay, opposite of that. We'll prepare. We'll be funny. And we'll be articulate.
Yes.
And as opposed to Pop Culture Problems. But anyway, yeah, so games have changed. And I mean, we've talked about video games and how they, I mean, when you look at the evolution of games, a lot of it was, there was a console versus PC type war. And that goes on a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was kind of the status quo. And everybody thought, okay, when's the faster PC coming out? When's the new console coming out? And that's kind of where games live. And then phones, like, really just opened the whole gateway to things. And even internet games were always, like, cheesy, flash-based, junky games. And now, because of internet speeds and because of the processing power and streaming services and things like, you know, Steam that are, you know, able to render games a different way, it's just kind of opened up this whole new world.
No, and it is kind of, it's frustrating for me because... I remember growing up, we used to play video games. You'd go out and you'd buy a game and you'd get the whole game. You could unlock all the unlockables. You could, you know, I think something that people talked about pretty commonly when I was younger was like you conquered a game. That meant that you had 100% completion.
Yep.
And now, like with these games that are like the mobile games and other games, you have to basically pay to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's really frustrating, especially with how so many games have become like these. They've kind of embraced the MMORPG approach in certain ways, where there's a lot of multiplayer online play and things like that. And to really compete at a high level, you have to basically buy your way to that high level.
And it's, but it's interesting though, because it's a supply and demand thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that you really have to pay to win or, you know, pay to play, is because other people are paying. If nobody paid, we'd all be on a level playing field.
Yes.
But because other people are paying. And so I kind of can't fault the developers because it is a supply and demand thing. People are out there in droves paying the money. And I'm thinking, good job for you. I just don't want to play that game.
You know, this is another thing that we can blame Mark Zuckerberg for.
Wow. Yeah, one more thing. It's just one more thing added to the pile.
Because do you remember, it was probably... It was a couple years into Facebook's, but like right around like 2006, 2007, that's when like Farmville and games like that hit Facebook.
Yep.
And, you know, more power to those guys. I'm a capitalist at heart, and the fact that those guys were able to monetize a game like that, like the Farmville guys, they're billionaires.
Candy Crush, and
for good reason, they're billionaires. They monetize something that nobody had ever thought to monetize before. But... I really think that was like the start of this move that we've seen, and it's kind of infiltrated all types of gaming. I mean, you have first person shooters that have this stuff. You have
season passes.
Yeah,
you have cosmetic aesthetic things. For me, I think the games that I don't know. I think it kind of bothers me in a way when I have to pay to do content in a certain game that I'm playing, like, single player. So when I'm playing something single player, I feel like, well, why should I have to pay for all this extra content? Just give me the content that you want, package it up, and then be done with it. Don't charge me a nickel and dime me. But for things that are cosmetic, like Fortnite is, I mean, it's exploded and is this huge thing. And that's another thing. Let's get back to the phone thing of that in a second. But Fortnite, the stuff that you pay for has, like, no competitive advantage.
See, and that's great.
Yeah, and I think that's what, and people are paying a lot of money. Like, it's like, I'm going to pay $10 to $20 of real money to make my costume look different.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me that people would pay that.
But you know what? I'm fine with that. Yeah. Because it doesn't give you a competitive advantage. It doesn't make your tune any better or anything like that. I mean, that was something that I think World of Warcraft did really well early on when they introduced the different mounts and stuff that you could buy. Mm-hmm. You might be able to move a little bit faster, but it really didn't give you that much of an advantage against other players. And then they started to introduce, like, you know, a different weapons and stuff that you could equip that might give you an advantage. But still, for the most part, I think World of Warcraft did a great job with kind of introducing that to that world. But now everybody's doing it. But Fortnite, I can't give them enough props for what they've done, because any other game, I think you'd be kind of tempted to make something look cool, but also give it a competitive advantage. And Fortnite is one of those games. I don't know if you've played it a lot, but
yeah, I played a little bit.
Just the slight competitive advantage could really tip any game one way or the other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The thing about the Fortnite that I think is interesting, well, first, before I forget, the fact that you can now play this game on mobile.
Yes. It's cross-platform.
It boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but to play that game on your phone, I've not played it on my phone yet. I've heard both good and bad. Like, oh, it's so amazing how well it runs.
I've got it downloaded, but I haven't played it yet. Yeah.
The controls are not relatively easy to play because it's on a small phone. But the fact that it can run, I mean, what does that say about how our technology is advanced? I think that for me, the developers, and rightfully so, because they're trying to make the money, are creating this system that makes people play these freemium games and purchase in-app. For instance, I don't have a lot of time. So occasionally, South Park Phone Destroyer. I love South Park, download it, thought, okay, this is a fun game, kind of a casual thing. I paid a couple bucks here and there to save me time, because I don't have time and I like to play the game. It's a fun game. But in order for me to have any fun, I have to give a little bit of money so that I don't have to spend as much time.
Yeah.
But the reason I have to do that is because they put these gates on everything where it's like, well, you have to wait 10 hours for this and you have to wait 5 hours for that. And I'm like, oh, good grief. Just let me not have to wait for that because I don't have time.
Yeah.
And so they've created a good need.
You're playing it when you have free time. You don't have free time maybe an hour from now.
I think there's a balance that we have reached where some people will go over the top with purchasing. For me, I have no problem. Let's say I spend $5 a month on South Park. Okay? I mean, $5 a month, you can't rent a movie for $5 hardly, unless you go to one of the boxes or something. Mm-hmm. But streaming something, it's $3.99 to $6.99 to have a movie. I can have a month worth of fun for $5.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a problem with that. There's some people that are on the other side like, I'll never pay a dime. Well, you're also never going to have any fun.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to be struggling and you're always going to be worse than everybody. And you're not going to have any sort of fun whatsoever. But then you have people that are just draining their bank accounts. I was on I was looking at a couple things like a card or something for Phone to Store. And I looked online. I was like, I wonder what level of card this is. And somebody was talking about having spent $10,000 on Phone Destroyer that month.
How do you have that much disposable income?
I mean, there's got to be people that are just loaded.
They have to be.
But $10,000. So when you look at that, of course they have a competitive advantage. I mean, you know, like, it's not like...
If you've spent $10,000, you deserve that.
Yeah, if you spend $5 to $10... Like, you're not going to probably have as big of an advantage of anybody else. Like, you've got a little extra boost, or you got a couple extra cards. But it's really unfair when people are spending that much money, because there's no way you can compete with them.
Absolutely.
And so that's
not
where it becomes unfun. is when you've got those people that are just doing it just to razz and
troll. Yeah, they call them whales, and it's just like they spend so much money in the games. Because, I mean, I play Phone Destroyer, but I also play this Marvel Future Fight game that there's some multiplayer stuff, but it's really kind of like a collector game. Like, you try to collect all the characters and upgrade them to the highest you can. But, I mean, there are people that have spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and you can't compete with that.
No. And I don't think that bodes well for long-term play of something. I think that's why things become fatty. Not fatty. Fatty.
Fatty.
Like,
Okay.
I remember not playing certain games in the past because I wouldn't have time to play a game. Like a first-person shooter or some multiplayer game. I wouldn't play it in the very first month or two. And then I'd have some time or some money. I'd buy it. And by that time, it wasn't even worth playing.
Yeah, because
you were so far behind the eight ball that it didn't matter. And that was before the content where you could pay to have an advantage. So now I feel like all games are me starting 2 months behind. Because I'm never able to catch up to that. I'm never able to have a fair fight. And it kind of has gotten me a little sworn off games.
Yeah.
And things, I think, also have shifted between being more fatty, as I talk about, having this fad culture, because people just move on to the next game. They start over, they get frustrated, they're like, we'll just move to the next thing. PUBG was huge, Fortnite kind of started, and a lot of people have the Sony, Microsoft fanboy kind of thing going on. But many people just jump ship because it's like, it's the next game. Before PUBG, there was The Culling, there's a couple other Battle Royale kind of things. And people just keep going to the next
one. And and the thing is, the thing that I actually have to say that I really like and appreciate about video games right now is that we've shifted away from that, like, graphics is king approach.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more about gameplay now. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that Fortnite has got going for it, is that you can basically put a controller in anybody's hand. And they can understand it. It's a bright, colorful world. And I mean, the load times on the games are phenomenally quick. Like, to find, like, a Battle Royale, you can basically pick up a controller and be in-game in, like, 30 seconds.
I think about kind of a standard or a pinnacle of
And then you can die before
power.
You land.
What?
And then you can die really quickly, too.
Oh, die
in the game. You can die immediately, yeah. I think the first round of Fortnite I ever played, I had somebody pickaxe me to death. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I landed right next to this guy. I thought we were friends, and
that was like
bam.
Their best day.
Yeah.
Like, we just pickaxed this guy to death. Wow, he stood there. He smiled, and then he did a dance because you were hitting the wrong button. The Elder Scrolls games and anything from Bethesda has kind of been a benchmark as far as graphics are concerned.
Yep.
When you talked about that. And I recall the load times, like on Oblivion. Like, it's like I'm entering a building. I'd go get up, go to the bathroom,
go make a sandwich.
It seemed like it was like a 3 to 4 minute load time to get into the next building. And they've gotten better on that, but they had an expansion to the. This was one of the Fallout games. They had an expansion to, and it was called Far Harbor, and you were on this, kind of foggy island.
Uh-huh.
And they experienced such problems with that because of the fog. The fog particles were rendering
the game almost
useless. Whereas back 20, 30 years ago, I don't know when Silent Hill came out, but Silent Hill on the PlayStation 1 used fog so they didn't have to render things in the distance.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's so interesting how we progress with games, but because of our, not narcissism or, vanity, or like we're trying to make things so good.
Yeah.
And by doing that, we make them worse in some ways.
Yes.
Like, we don't take some of the magic and tricks. It's like practical effects versus CGI in movies. Like, at what point do you cross over the line where, graphics are the most important things?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you played Borderlands?
I haven't, no.
Now, Borderlands is a weird-looking game. And it's so fun. Like,
it's just stupid-looking. It's, like, cel-shaded, right?
It's very cartoony and very kind of, I don't know, it has a certain style to it. And I realize that games, even though they're styled in a certain way, can still have a lot of artistic nature to it and can still require a lot of programming. The South Park game is a perfect example, like the console version or the PC version.
Yep.
I mean, it took them a lot of work to make it look crappy. Like, to make them walk like they do in the cartoon show. Like, that was programming that had never been done before. Well, let's jitter them every 5 seconds to make it look like they're...
Let's go back to the 1980s and how... And how...
It's just, it was, they had to on purpose make it look bad, and that's a tough thing. So, games have changed. I don't think they're inherently bad, but I kind of feel like sometimes with the game, they focus more on what's going to come after the release than what they put into the game that's initially released.
Well, I think, and, you know, this is just the business end of it, but I think most developers kind of go into it now with the approach of, how can we monetize this for years or months after this game is out? Because, like, we feel like we have a good concept here. But how can we stretch every single living dime out of that? How much blood can we get from this stone?
But there are good and bad ways to do it. I didn't play a whole lot of Grand Theft Auto V. I played a little bit of it. That was okay game. It was kind of complete. I got hours and hours of fun out of it. That game is still going.
Yeah, yeah.
Years and years and years later. It is still at the top of its game because they've added more content and they completely revamped things and add new expansions. But I didn't feel like I was gypped from the game. Now when a game is released, they're like, we're pre-selling the season pass and we have all this content coming later. I feel like they finish the game 100%. And they're like, okay, let's only release 80 of it. And then we'll, you know, I feel like that they're not giving me the full experience sometimes. And that might just be my personal, like, oh, this is what I think is happening. But I just kind of feel like they're holding back and not quite giving me the full experience so that they can sell it to me later. For
now, are there any games that you can think of that, because they have done this, where they've gone back and released downloadable content for games that have been out for like years.
Yeah, oh, really?
What game was it that they did it for recently? I can't think of, but it's something that I think people are like finally coming around to. Are there any games that you can think of that, like, no questions asked, you would pay for the downloadable content?
Oh, downloadable content. I think a couple of, like, I was a huge fan of the Metal Gear games growing up. So any Metal Gear kind of expansion, I think, would be cool. Maybe not now, since the whole scandal happened with Konami and Kojima and all that stuff. It might be weird, but also, I think the old God of War games. I mean, the new God of War has gotten so rave reviews for this one coming out on the 20th. Oh my gosh, we've dated the episode. What if we don't release it?
Oh no!
Oh, I don't know. So it's coming out soonish. But that's gotten such great reviews. I think it would be cool to see some of the old game concepts with the new graphics, with the new battle structure. I bought a GameCube for one game. Metal Gear, which I played the original game and I played all the other Metal Gears, they came out with a re-release of Metal Gear 1 using the game engine and the types of combat skills and graphics they did for the more recently released one. Now, this was back when the GameCube came out.
Yeah.
But playing the game, like in Metal Gear 2, you could hang from ledges and kind of sneak around in different ways. Well, those mechanics weren't available in the first one. So it was the same exact game, the same map, the same characters, the voice work, except they added in the ability to hang from a ledge kind of strafe around and do these rollings and hide bodies. And they added all this additional functionality. And that was so cool for me. And so if they were able to take a game, like the old God of Wars were Greek mythology, the new one's going to be more... like Norse, something like that. I think it's kind of like Viking. And so if they were able to take the graphics and the combat stuff and give me an add-on or a remake of one of those old games, that's cool. I struggle sometimes though with the remake for remake's sake.
I remember what game it was now. Blizzard is doing they're doing new content for the original Warcraft game.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Played Warcraft, like the sim, like it's basically like a city sim game where like you build different structures and you can build units and then it's like StarCraft but in the world of Warcraft.
Just the new version.
Yeah.
One game that I loved, but I kind of feel like they're beating a dead horse. Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay.
Have you played that?
I have. Yeah, the original I loved.
Original, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And they've released
a gameplay and
times.
Graphics.
800 times they've released that game. They're like, just give us better graphics new stuff on this system. Better. in the time that they have re-released that, they could just give me a new box. Even if they re-released it, they said, we're re-releasing it, mastered content, it's identical game with better graphics, and we added one new boss fight. Just give me a nibble of something new. Like, I bought the remastered copy of it, the first remaster, not the most recent one. And I bought it, and I never actually played it, because I'm like, oh, I've already played that exact same game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I just couldn't get behind it, and there was nothing really different about it, except the graphics looked a little better, but also not that much, because I had a bigger TV, and so it's gonna, you know, it's like, it's not going to be that great. So I think sometimes they should just kind of leave well enough alone and move on to the new content, because it's kind of disingenuous to your fans just to resell them the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like buying the same, you sell your used car and then you end up buying it back. Like,
see, and Josh, I think you and I are very similar in the way that we really, to
how
me,
dare you? Like, I'm not anything. Like
I think storyline and gameplay is pretty important to us.
Yep.
And, I can't really wrap my head around some of these newer games, but like to have like new story added to some of the Legend of Zelda games, like Ocarina of Time, N64. Like, to have, like, some new, something that kind of expanded on that story or brought in some new areas to that world. Mm-hmm. I think, like, that's something that would have legs and people would, like, get excited about. But
yeah.
Nintendo hasn't really jumped on this train of, like, the downloadable content. But maybe I'm wrong.
Not
but
really.
No.
Well, I think they ship most of their money by releasing their old games. How many times has Mario Brothers been re-released?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I mean, every time you buy a new system, I think people just instinctively buy the Mario trilogy. They're like, okay, let's just buy that. Oh, I got it, because I bought a Nintendo, like a DS, I think that was like, Game Boy Advance, I think it was, or something like that. And it's like, I automatically just had to buy those. I never even really played them that much, but I had to buy them because that's the games you buy, and you just get that nostalgic boost. So they just keep selling the same game with a new system. And I'm like, why don't you just allow
the virtual console that they came up with was, like, genius.
Yeah, but the virtual console on a lot of systems, like, you're able to have saved those purchases
and then transfer.
No, not with, I don't think so with Nintendo. It's like, you bought it, now you have to rebuy it. You know, one thing you mentioned on was story. And I like story in a game. I like a good story. But I think sometimes it can be overwhelming. So, like, with the Bethesda games, I go into a new Skyrim game with a really good intention. I'm like, I'm gonna listen to
every single. I'm not gonna skip any of the dialogue. Every NPC that comes up and talks to me, I'm gonna listen to what they have to say.
15 minutes in, I'm like, come on, shut up. Have you ever?
I'm just gonna kill you so you stop talking.
Have you ever? And I'm gonna say within over three, because maybe you might have had a curiosity the first time you played the game. Have you ever really read one of the end game books? That wasn't a quest related.
Oh,
that
that's
had
a great question. no, and here's the thing: like, there's somebody that their job is to write those books.
Literally, somebody's they write the book.
Yeah, inside Skyrim, they write the book.
What do you do for a living? I write books that nobody reads.
Yes.
I mean, that's literally their job. And like, I'll occasionally.
But
like,
you know, there's somebody out there though that is like such a Skyrim nerd or geek that they've read everything.
I guess, but is it really worth that extra, you know, payroll expense for the author writing those books for the five people on the planet that are reading them all?
That's an immersive game.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, it's probably like the same book. Like the first page, they write maybe like, let's say, 100 pages of content. And then the subsequent pages are just repeats.
I'm very tempted to actually go and like read two of the books now just to see how similar they are.
In the middle, it's just like, you're not going to read this far, you schmuck. We're tricking you with in-game content that is actually here. It's just like a bunch of garbled e-gook, and I don't know. I think that's a sad job to
Bethesda
have.
Bethesda should, like, they should hide some kind of, like, $1 million prize throughout the books where, like, there's different clues and stuff throughout these books, and if you piece them all together, you...
the NPCs, just shut up. Shut up and let me get my new weapon. Let me go to the next mission. And it's really sad because, like, other games, I know Metal Gear was notorious for having the longest FMV sequences and just, it was a virtual movie. Like, it was like a movie that you occasionally press the X button through.
Now, you know,
but I would watch it all.
We've talked a lot about downloadable content. How do you feel about mods?
Mods? Okay. good and bad. I, unfortunately, or fortunately, really like the trophy achievement system in games. I think it gives people incentive to kind of play in different ways and guides them to play the way that the developers intended. Because some people will take the path of short or least resistance to just get through something. And those achievements force them to do things as intended.
Yeah.
However, comma, when you download a mod, can't get an achievement, can't get a trophy. So I think that I get to the point where I'm like, okay, I need that trophy. I need the achievements. I want 100%. And then I played it so much to death that by the time I get to the point to do a mod, I don't want to start over to try it again.
See,
with
a mod. To me, like, I feel like a mod can really, like, freshen up a game.
Oh, it can.
Like, Skyrim with lightsabers and Jedi powers is awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. But I can't get my head around playing Skyrim again.
Yeah.
Because I think I played it, like, 3 times now, like, you know, full session.
See, but, like, Skyrim has, like, a lot of mods that add content.
Yeah.
Like, there's been, I mean, and that's an old game. That's been out since, what, 2009, 2010?
Yeah.
What are you laughing about?
I saw a video once, and the mod, like, was that all of a certain type of enemy was Thomas the Train.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then all the Deathclaws had the Macho Man Randy Savage, oh, yeah, like, voice. Every time they'd get hit, it'd be like, oh, yeah. And then, like, Thomas the Tank Engines were falling.
Yeah,
it's fine. The
Those
sky.
Are the dragons, yeah, or something, yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? Yeah, it was the dragons.
Yeah,
was
the
like
dragons were
the
trains,
tank
yeah.
Dragon.
Yeah.
It was so bad, but so good. Like, I mean, and so mods can be great. I just feel like I never get to them. I wish that there was a trophy for, like, trying 10 mods. Or or playing 5 hours worth of modded material.
Because
then you were giving incentive to play.
I actually think that they, like Xbox Live or whatever, changed the policy on Skyrim mods, and you can get the trophies now.
Okay.
But I'm a huge fan of the Civilization. Series, and one of my favorite mods ever was Civilization 4. Somebody did a top to bottom Star Wars mod.
Wow.
Of Civilization. Where, and I don't know how familiar you are with that game series, but basically it's from, like, the dawn of time till the space race, and you play as a civilization like America or Egypt or whatever, and you develop technology, develop your government and things like that. And they actually took technologies and units and stuff like that from the Star Wars universe and put it in Civilization with the different races and stuff. It was
crazy.
Just awesome.
It perplexes me how I think it's great. I think this is a kind of hobby that is interesting. I don't think I'd have the patience to do it, but think of the amount of man hours that went, or person hours. Think about the person hours that went into developing that. They did the same thing with, like, Grand Theft Auto, where I think they rebuilt, like, Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, all of these old maps in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
Reconstructed every building and roadway with the new graphics so people could play it. What an endeavor. And so, like, I think that's so cool that fans, when they get so impassioned by something, that they're going to create content that other people can continue to enjoy. I think that's really cool.
Speaking of enjoying content, we really need to do a Grand Theft Auto series retrospective.
Jeez, I'm trying to remember Grand Theft Auto. I the first Grand Theft Auto you played?
I did not. No.
No, what was the first one?
Oh, Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yeah, see, me too.
The first open world one where it was just
I went to a big box store to buy Metal Gear Solid 2. Which that's its whole story on its own. And there, while I was waiting to get the game, somebody looked up a friend that I was with and was like, oh, Metal Gear Solid, or Grand Theft Auto 3. And I'm like, what's that? Had no idea about anything Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. Didn't know what the game was going to be about. And they're like, oh, it's really cool. I think we should get it. I heard it was great. So I bought both of those games on the same day.
Yeah.
And, like, basically lied to the teller because they're like, these games aren't for you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, my mom said I could buy them. Okay. Well, like, I just, like, do I go to the, you
see,
know,
think
liquor
about
store?
That.
And you, I'm like, yeah, I'm dying this for my dad. Okay, kid, take this booze.
But think about that. You had to lie to spend money on a video game. Kids nowadays, they just spend money on their phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their parents can bill after the fact.
They're releasing a new phone. I don't know if it's what network it's
a
on.
A new phone? No way.
Dump, bump, bump. No, they're releasing a new phone. I just read about it this morning, and I don't know which if it's a Samsung or what it is, but they're releasing a new phone that does not have access to the internet. No Wi-Fi, no 3G, nothing. Wow. You can only make calls on it, but it's a smartphone, so you can have games and stuff like that. So you should only do offline content. Okay. So I think that you can download things like apps, possibly, or maybe install them like a USB or something, but you can't do anything else.
I want that for my children.
I want that for you, John, but I want the feature turned off that where you can't text or call me.
Josh, here's the thing. I just want you to be happy.
Come on, get happy. What's that song?
Happy. Well, no, that's not from Happy.
What was it?
No,
but you thought it was Happy Days?
Isn't that a Brady Bunch song?
Or Partridge Family. Partridge Family, yeah. The Big Bus. It's
Partridge Family, yeah.
Now, that's a game I would like to see. The Partridge Family Freemium Battle Royale.
Partridge Family Brady Bunch?
Yeah, Battle Royale. Or Pop Culture Problems, the freemium game, coming this summer. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Pop Culture Problems. We'll see you next time.